Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, February 4th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Imran, the Don Khan. Imran, how you doing?
Howdy, Bless. I'm doing okay. How about you?
Doing pretty good. It's been a pretty chill morning so far. We're doing Games Daily early today, which kind of thrown off my day a little bit.
Yeah, I had to wake up earlier for this. This is insane.
Yeah, I just had to get ready faster, which has been a thing. And so that 30 minutes means that I kind of had to rush to get news in. But thankfully, I don't want to say it's been a slow news day, because every time I've said that, something then gets delayed the next day. So I'm not going to say it's a slow news day.
Yeah.
What I am going to say...
What are you going to delay now, you monster?
I mean, what's left? I mean, you said monster. Is there a Monster Hunter game that I don't know about that I can delay?
Not announce one, no.
No, not yet. Not yet. We can make one.
But the unannounced Monster Hunter...
there's always a Monster Hunter game unannounced
Monster
somewhere.
Monster Hunter Switch 2.
Yep.
Getting delayed. Imran, how was your Super Bowl?
Good. I did not realized San Francisco was playing until the game started.
Really?
I was just like, oh, I guess I should be for that team. Sure, why not?
Did you watch it by yourself or did you hang out?
I watched it by myself, yeah.
Okay, so you just turned it on. You're like, oh, the 49ers.
Yeah, pretty
what
much.
What a team.
I was like, oh, that sounds like San Francisco.
Did you have a favorite part? Did you like the commercials? Did you like the halftime show?
Halftime show was good.
Halftime show was great.
Yes.
Yeah, me and Tim were talking about Shakira all day yesterday. Because legit, I think I didn't realize until Sunday how big of a fan I was of Shakira.
I saw that one tweet you posted of, was it Shakira and J-Lo that were on the stage?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like,
if you look like this, please contact me.
I was like, that stand makes him look like Amiibo. And apparently a lot of people agree, because I got like a bunch of like retweets and like responses that like, damn it, they do.
No, it was such a perfect pose where it looked like Peach and Rosalina or something like that, where they're just like in their fighting stance from Smash Brothers or something.
Yes.
Of course.
Put J-Lo in Smash.
This Kinda Funny Games Daily isn't all about the Super Bowl. We're talking about video games. Today's stories include Sony not knowing PS5's price yet, a wonderful Kickstarter, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live at 10 a.m. right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, or bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington.
Hold on, it says Epic Esports in
that
voice.
Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, Barrett, please.
Fucking I'll do it. Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington. Are you ready to get locked and loaded? Andy Nitro Rifle Cortez will be in town February 8th and 9th for the opening day of Overwatch League Season 3. There will be panels, activities, meet and greets, and much more. Buy your tickets now at dallasfuel.com and get ready to burn blue.
How come everybody in this office can do that?
I feel like I totally stepped up what Tim brought yesterday. Though.
I mean, I don't know if I would put you up there with Tim. Tim's still at number one for me. It probably goes Tim, then Greg, then you at this point. No offense. I think you still did great, but it's one of those things where like,
I think I totally fucking stepped up the game from yesterday. Tim was still a sleepy boy yesterday.
People need to write in and tell us who's the best Kinda Funny shoutcaster.
Yeah, like who did the best Epic Esports announcer voice? Was it Barrett? Was it Greg? Was it Tim? Who might do it tomorrow?
Has Greg done one yet?
Greg did one on PS Love You.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My feedback for Greg was that like Greg, I expect that level of energy from.
Yeah, Greg's just always loud.
Yeah,
he's always shouting.
Tim brought it from the heart in the way that Greg felt. Yeah, it's Greg doing an announcer voice. No offense to Greg, it was great. Yeah. Once again,
so you're saying Greg's too artificial and Tim is more like genuine.
No, I would say Tim just put more umph into it. Like I could tell Tim was trying more.
So you're saying I'm not trying? You're saying
no,
I'm
I think
not
you're trying
A-game.
Too. I just think like
fuck you.
I just think you're competing against gods right now, man. Gods and monsters.
Yeah, you know what? You know who killed a god and fought a god? Batman. In Batman v Superman. Dawn of Justice.
How many days has it been, Barrett, since Batman?
God. It's been 33 days since the last tease.
That's about as long as that podcast was, the Batman v Superman.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. It's been 33 days since the last tease of this unannounced Batman game. It's been 2,299 days since WB Montreal has released a video game. And it's been 1,693 days since the last Batman Arkham game came out.
I'm sorry for you. Greg is on WWE Backstage today. At 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central on Fox Sports 1, doing promo school. I don't know what any of those words mean, but if that sounds interesting to you, go check that
Greg's
out.
Greg's going to yell on TV.
Yeah, Greg's going to yell.
Just turn on TV and he'll be there.
We're streaming Dreams with Media Molecule on Friday, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 2 p.m. If you want to tune in for that, it's going to be a fun time. And then thank you to our Patreon producers, the Nanobiologist, Frank Furter, Blackjack, Patrick Higgins, Muhammad Muhammad, Katie Gallagher, Joe Beezer, Ginny, Dom Dom, Drew Gardner, and Travis Gajkowski. Today we're brought to you by Manscaped, Brooklinen, and Raid Shadow Legends, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Wow. Okay. Fuck. See, that's the passion I'm talking about, Barrett.
I had it earlier.
But no, I'd say you had it earlier.
Okay.
That's the passion I'm talking about, man. Number one, Sony doesn't know how much the PS5 will cost yet. This comes from Tom Ivan of Video Games Chronicle. Sony's chief financial officer Hiroki Totoki has suggested the company has yet to determine the PlayStation 5 price as it attempts to balance its position based on several known and unknown factors. Chief among the latter will likely be Microsoft's Xbox Series X pricing plans. During Sony's third quarter earnings call on Tuesday, senior EVP and CFO Totoki was asked how the company intends to achieve his stated aim of a smooth transition to the next console generation. The questioner asked which factors Sony can control, such as marketing and development costs, and what the invisible elements are that make things tricky. Quote, first, we must absolutely control the labor costs, the personnel cost. It must be controlled, Totoki said. In the initial ramp up, how much we can prepare initially, we will work on the production and the sales, and we will have to prepare the right volume as we launch this. What is not very clear or visible is because we're competing in the space, so it's very difficult to discuss anything about the price at this point of time. And depending upon the price level, we may have to determine the promotion that we are going to deploy and how much costs we are prepared to pay. So it's a question of balance, Totoki continued. And because it's a balancing act, it's very difficult to say anything concrete at this point of time. But when I said smooth transition, we mean that we will definitely choose the optimal approach and that we will try to have the best balance so that we will be profitable during the life of this product. So Imran Khan,
three paragraphs that said nothing.
Basically. Exactly. Yeah. That was like a lot of word salad.
But like it, yeah, they're waiting to see how much the Xbox costs before they say how much the PS5 will cost, mm-hmm. which makes total sense. They're not going to, I'm sure they would love the price at $600 if the market would bear it, but the market probably won't bear it, especially if the Xbox Series X costs $400.
Yeah.
So they're going to try and figure that out as time goes on. I'm sure they have a range in which they have to, based on what they've built, like what they'd actually like to price it at. But for now, we're just kind of figuring this out, and they're figuring it out as well.
Mm. Anakin JMT writes in and says, with Sony saying they're waiting to determine a price for the PS5 until they know what the Xbox Series X will cost, I have three questions. One, could this be a reason why there's been no sign of Sony having a PS5 reveal in February as they wanted to give the price at said reveal? Two, is waiting for Microsoft to name their price, allowing Microsoft to get more of a mindshare with gamers? Series X is arguably more anticipated because we know what the console looks like, and we know one huge launch day game exists, that being Halo Infinite. If Sony is letting Microsoft make all the first moves, are they, in the words of Gary Whitta, standing still? And three, if Microsoft waits until E3 to give their price, as they did for Xbox One, is that too late for Sony to name theirs? And could this give Microsoft an early edge heading into the fall and launch of both consoles? So let's start with number one, because there's a lot in there, even within those three questions. So number one, could this be a reason why there's been no sign of Sony having a PS5 reveal event in February as they wanted to give the price at said reveal?
Could it be a reason? Probably, but is it the only reason? I really doubt it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I assume that like they have a number of things that are, the console is at best 11 or 10 months out. Because like we found out today, it's holiday 2020, directly holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of squares to circle before they get, you know, to that point.
Yeah.
I bet one of those things is price, but they don't need to announce price right now. They can announce price in June.
Yeah. I believe last time, like, for a PS4, they announced price at E3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, February feels, I mean, like, they could do it at any point, but February still feels somewhat early to get a lot of the information out that they would want to get out to finalize this console reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've been talking a lot on Games Daily and PS I Love You about the cadence that PlayStation has had over the last, I guess, year or so with their PS5 details coming out, right? And they've been going to Wired to release those details. And with that, right, like, what's left to really talk about at this point in time, right? We could just wait it out, and it could be June or May or July or sometime closer to the ramp up to where you would actually want to get marketing and advertising really ramped up, get those commercials in, get those YouTube ads in, whatever they are, and really get things going then, as opposed to starting now and then having that be like a long stretch until the console launch.
Yeah, I mean, again, they could announce the price in a tweet and it would be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Number two is waiting for Microsoft to name their price, allowing Microsoft to get more of a mind share with gamers.
No, I don't think, like, I reject the premise of this question a little bit. I don't think the series, I don't think the Series X is doing that much more than the PS5 in terms of mindshare. Right now, they're both pretty much, like, maybe they're different degrees of zero, but they're pretty much starting at zero.
Yeah. I would say, I feel like at this point in time, it feels like Microsoft has a bit more out there because they have shown the box along with the name, even though we know that the PS5 is called the PS5. And I believe Sony said directly that it's called the PlayStation 5. So we know both the names. We know how the Xbox box looks like, which I think is one of very few things that Xbox kind of has above PlayStation as far as like where they're at in the reveals. And we know, I feel like we know more Xbox games. Like, we know Hellblade 2, and we know Halo Infinite. And for PlayStation 5, we have Godfall. And so, like, we have two games versus one game. And you can count, like, I guess we can count, like, games like Everwild and some of the games that came out at the XO19 event.
Right.
But I guess it feels like we have more of a solidified look at what the Xbox launch is going to be than the PS5 launch, even though there's still a lot for both companies to kind of say about what the launches are going to be.
That's February of 2020. Like, we still, again, have like 10 months to figure out what the next, they could announce launch games at not at E3, but after E3 or some other event. Sony is free to just say whenever they want. They're coming into the next generation from the position of power and leadership already, that they can, let's say, I don't know, Horizon is the big launch game for PS5. They can announce that at the event. They can announce it like 2 months before if they wanted to. And it would still be fine in terms of, because the mindshare war doesn't actually start until, I would say, at earliest June. But at that point, everyone will come out there announcing their own games and stuff like that. I don't think Microsoft necessarily has that much of a first move advantage right here. It could turn into one, depending on what somebody does. But what we're talking about right now is still like way too early to speculate of what it'll turn out to be at the end of this year.
Yeah, I think where we're at so far is interesting because during PSLV XOXO that went up this morning, me and Greg had a conversation about launch titles and how I'm not sold on the idea that PlayStation is going to have a huge launch title at the launch of the PS5, given the history of, you know, PS4 not really having like a big, huge exclusive. Same with PS3, same with PS2, same with PS1. And I wouldn't think that Sony, depending on how ready something like Horizon Zero Dawn 2 is, if it's not ready to go, they won't want to push it out and force it out, because that's a game you want to come, you want that game to come out and be great, right? You don't want that game to come out before it's ready. And so I don't think that's a game they would put out before it's ready. Granted, it could be already be ready, you know, and it could be ready before the PS5 comes out and be ready to come out at launch, but I don't know how sold I am on the idea yet, but the idea that Xbox already has Halo Infinite as a launch title and PlayStation 5, theoretically, if they don't have a big exclusive competing with it, you know, what does that do for that decision when you're at the store, right? Do people then go, well, you know, there's nothing on the PS5 right now that I really need to get, but I could get the Xbox Series X and play Halo Infinite, which looks awesome. And so I feel like that plays a little bit into the mindshare quote-unquote battle right now, but I feel like it's not going to matter once things start really ramping up for the console reveals. Like, once we start getting an idea, like, even if there's not a big exclusive at launch, even if it is PlayStation being like, oh yeah, like, here's Horizon Zero Dawn 2 coming 2021, along with here's a teaser for Spider-Man 2 and whatever it may be, right? God of War 2, which I don't know if we'll get or not, but you know, I could see those seeds being planted in a way where once we get to November or October or whenever these consoles actually launch, it doesn't actually matter as much the seeds that are being sown right now.
Right.
Yeah, that's where, I'm at.
It's way too much of a horse race mentality.
Yeah.
Of Microsoft's currently the way, because you mentioned I could buy a Series X to play Halo Infinite, but you don't necessarily need to.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the strategy Microsoft has right now of, yeah, you could buy a Series X for this stuff or Cyberpunk or whatever, and it would be a better experience for you, but you don't have to. And Sony's going a different tact of, yeah, we're the next generation. We're having new games, better games, exclusive games. So I think it does behoove them to have a pretty major launch title, but Sony, like you said, generally never that big off on launch titles in general.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What would be one thing, like one game they announced that would be like, yeah, no, I have to get a PS5 for it now?
For launch or just like launch period or just in
for
general?
For launch. Like, what is the Breath of the Wild caliber title for you?
I mean, for PlayStation, like, the titles that come to mind are titles that are 100% not going to be ready, right? So God of War is like, or God of War or a new Naughty Dog game are like the two things that come to mind, and neither of those will be ready for a PS5 launch.
I mean, Naughty Dog has two teams. They could...
True.
Reasonably have one.
But like two Naughty Dog games in 1 year, that'd be crazy. that'd be an awesome year. But I feel like as far as reasonable or realistic, Horizon Zero Dawn is really the only one that comes to mind, because I don't think Spider-Man 2 is gonna be ready.
Mm-hmm.
But even like, I feel like Horizon Zero Dawn speaks to a certain audience of people. Like Horizon Zero Dawn is gonna have wide appeal, but you know, I feel like you're going to need more bangers than that. Like, I feel like you're going to need more of a variety, which is why I don't think, like, one big launch title is the goal for PlayStation. I think they just, like, you know, sprinkle things around. Like, we have Godfall. We have, in my head, what'll be Knack 3 or an Astrobot platformer or something along those lines.
Or Ratchet and Clank 2. Just fucking give it to me, man.
Ratchet and Clank 2. Or, like, you know, something along the lines of Resogun or some interesting indie titles. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like variety is more realistic and even possibly even more viable than, like, a huge, huge knockout title or something along the lines of something like Horizon Zero Dawn.
I think you worry less about the mainstream at launch because you don't have that many units to sell in the first place.
Yeah.
And you try to get the hardcore on board. So to me, a Demon's Souls style thing, not even necessarily Demon's Souls itself, like a Bloodborne 2 or something like that, like a From Software game at launch would be like, yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah. And I think things along more of those lines would fit well within the launch lineup rather than like one of their big first parties.
Yeah. If you only have, let's say, 5 million units to sell before the end of 2020. You want to sell those 5 million units to people who are guaranteed to buy day one. When the console is at its most expensive and worst it will ever be, which is, like, that's the way console launches work. They're at their most expensive and the, like, less features than it will ever have. So, like, that's when you want the hardcore to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of things that I would buy.
And then number three here, Anakin JMT says, if Microsoft waits until E3 to give their price as they did for Xbox One, is that too late for Sony to name theirs? And could this give Microsoft an early edge heading into the fall and launch of both titles? Is post E3 too late to give the price for your console?
No. I mean, like, the Switch had, what, 2 months?
Yeah.
January, late January.
Was it that January presentation that we got the price, or was it not the...
No, it was a January. We didn't know anything about it except for, like, the concept before then. So January to March was the, like, full launch run-up for that thing, which I think challenged traditional wisdom of that. You need a full year for gaming magazines to get the print stuff out and all that stuff. And, like, not really these days. Just, you could honestly announce it in September, and I think it'd be fine.
Yeah.
They're not going to. They want pre-orders up way earlier than that, but yeah.
I think if Xbox wasn't competition, like if Xbox or Microsoft wasn't probably for sure going to announce their price at E3 or before
E3. Yes, E3 is their show now.
Yeah.
So.
Like, I feel like you can't have Xbox announce that price in June and then come back, have Sony come in September and announce their price. I feel like that's then way too late. But, I think post E3 is fine. Like, if they announce their price in July, I don't think that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
As long as it's not, like, too much later after Xbox.
They announced a logo, and that set Instagram records. Like,
yeah.
They could do whatever they want to do. Again, it could just be a tweet. And it would be, that would harken back to when they went on stage and just said, what was it, $2.99 for PS1. Mm-hmm. And then that set the world on fire.
Yeah.
However they want to do this is completely up to them. They are in control of the entire story, really. Sony has won more generations than they've lost. And I think they've only really lost one in...
Yeah, PS3, they lost. And then...
Yeah, it kind of pulled ahead. Depends on when you consider the generation over or not. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's hard for them to lose momentum. And yeah. I think once you come from... What was the number today? It was 109 million
yep.
PS4s.
Yeah.
Like, when you come from that to the next generation, and you're almost probably directly carrying over the entire audience, like... You have the right to just do it whatever way you want to do it. And I think they're going to take it their own pace.
Number two, we got some more PlayStation news. The PlayStation 5 page is up on PlayStation.com. And so, Barry, I don't know if you have the link or want to pull it up for the video watchers. But essentially, it's the PS5 logo. Under it says, PlayStation 5 is coming, launches holiday 2020. And then under it, they have text that says, we've begun to share some of the incredible features you can expect from PlayStation 5, but we're not quite ready to fully unveil the next generation of PlayStation. Sign up below to be among the first to receive updates as we announce them, including news on the PS5 release date, PS5 price, and the upcoming roster of PS5 launch games. Now, I don't think this is like
blessing. I can't sign up below. There's nothing below.
You gotta scroll down.
I am.
Oh wait, there it was there before. Oh, it's gone.
It's not there. Bless, I can't sign up below.
I swear to God, when I was on there earlier, it was there. I don't know what happened to it. That's weird. Maybe it's like a website glitch, or maybe
sign up somewhere. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. But I don't think this is like anything huge, but.
It's them saying, I know you expected February, but we're not going
to
do February.
Yeah. That's kind of why I gleaned from this. Them saying that they're not quite ready to fully unveil the next generation of PlayStation tells me that like we're still a few months off from an actual.
I don't know, a few months, maybe next month, maybe April, but like
if I want to win this bet with Tim Gettys, it's a few months away.
What's the bet?
I said the PlayStation 5 reveal will be post March. He mm-hmm. said it'll be pre-March. And so if it happens in March, none of us win. But post March, I win.
Both y'all lose.
It's a pizza bet. You think it's gonna happen in March?
It's either gonna be directly before the end of the financial year or directly after. So either in March or April is not what I would say.
Okay,
I have a good feeling about March.
See, I'm still in May. I'm. I think both me and Greg are saying May.
Mm.
May makes a lot more sense now that we know they're not gonna be at E3.
Yeah, that's my thing. Mm. And I don't know the idea that they want to wait for. The Xbox to know what the Xbox price is tells me that like maybe post May at this point, who knows? Like this has been such a different ramp up to the console reveals that mm-hmm. I feel like traditional knowledge is kind of thrown out the window to some extent, and we kind of have to like wait and see. You know, now that there's, I feel like companies have way more control over the messaging now than ever.
Mm-hmm.
That they could just come through with a random PlayStation State of Play and could just lay out. Like do 10 minutes and be like, oh yeah, here's the price, here's, you know, a title or two, and here's how it looks. We'll see you in next month's State of Play for more information. Like
I was looking at, there's a tweet that posted a picture the other day of it was the Star Wars account saying The Force Awakens has finished principal photography, and then a reply saying the title hasn't been announced yet, and the reply to that was, we just did.
Mm.
I can absolutely see Sony doing that kind of thing and just tweeting the number. That's it.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome. I'd be into it. I like that kind of stuff. Well, that's mainly because I'm a madman and I eat up weird marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd be into it.
What would be your ideal price for this?
Price for the PS5?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, $5. But like,
What would be the most realistic price you feel?
Yeah. I feel like, when they talk about SSD and they talk about ray tracing mm-hmm. and they talk about, and I hear people talk about how technically impressive, you know, those things are when implemented correctly, I guess. Like, that screams expensive to me, but something tells me that they're going to want to hit that sweet 400 spot. And so I'm going to say 400, but I wouldn't be surprised at 500.
I think right now they're probably in a, like, nexus between 400 and 500 of, like, we would love to have this for sale for 500 and just make a profit on each box, but... That seems unlikely,
mm-hmm.
so we're prepared to go down to 400 if we need to, based on what the Xbox is doing. I think they have that range, and I think they're ready for it. It's just a question of, like, are they going to take a loss or not?
Yeah. We'll see. Mm. Number three, the Wonderful 101 remaster smashes Kickstarter goal in hours. I'm pulling this from Rachel England over at Engadget. If anything demonstrates that gamers love a bit of cult nostalgia, it's the eye-watering success of Kickstarter campaigns pledging to bring back former hits back to life. And that's absolutely the case with former Wii U title, The Wonderful 101, the remastering of which obliterated its Kickstarter goal in less than an hour. Platinum Games' colorful action adventure was originally released in 2013 for the Wii U. Now it's getting the modern console treatment and will be coming to PS4, Switch, and PC thanks to a hugely successful crowdfunding campaign that looks set to hit a whopping $1.5 million. Given the tight delivery timeframes, Platinum Games says it'll ship in April 2020. It's likely that development is already in the bag and that this is more of a game sale than anything else. That being said, there's the opportunity to get your hands on some interesting rewards. Pledge more than 1,000 yen, that's about $9, for example, and you have the option to be blocked on Twitter by Platinum co-founder Hideki Kamiya, whose sensitive blocking trigger finger is well known among the gaming community. Xbox gamers may well be disappointed to be left out of proceedings, but that's not to say they won't ever have the chance to play the remastered version. In the Kickstarter FAQs, Platinum says that getting the game to Switch, Steam, and PS4 is already a challenging endeavor, but if the campaign is successful enough, they can definitely plan on porting the game on additional platforms. Given the huge numbers the campaign has already seen in its short time online, then an Xbox One version is not an impossibility. Yeah, when they say additional platforms and the game's already coming to Switch, Steam, and PS4, I feel like there's only one option left, right?
Or it could be next-gen consoles as well.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
Imran, Stadia. We talked about this a bit yesterday because me and Tim were speculating on what the 4 was when Platinum was teasing the 4 idea. And there were like rumors over the weekend of Wonderful 101, this Kickstarter happening. And mm-hmm. So this is no surprise. But I think it's pretty cool to see this game coming out. This is a game that I've wanted to play, but I'd never had a Wii U because nobody had a Wii U. And so I've never gotten the chance to play it. But I love Platinum, so this all sounds like good news to me. But I feel like to even further this, right, that means if you look back on the Platinum website, the Platinum 4 thing, Wonderful 101 was one of four announcements, looks like. Under the 2, they now have a 2, 3, and 4 thingy going on, and under each of them they say coming soon. Mm-hmm. Which has me very excited because this gives credence to what we were talking about yesterday of, you know, four different, you know, big announcements from Platinum.
Yeah. Beautiful
Joe. Do you have any predictions on what these might be?
I mean, if you want to be conservative, I would say it might be just be announced games being re-revealed, like Bayonetta 3, Babylon's Fall, stuff like that.
Yeah. But they would have to like have new details, right? Like a Bayonetta 3 release date.
I'd assume, yeah. For those kind of things.
I'd be into it. Mm-hmm. Babylon's Fall release date, I'd be super into.
I don't see Bayonetta 3 being a thing for release date, because wouldn't Nintendo want to be the ones that would do that under their own direction?
Yeah. There's also, well,
they can also update when they want to.
At this point, we're running out of time, but I was going to say that like there was rumors that this week we could see a Nintendo Direct, and so what if Bayonetta's the number 4 announcement, and it's on Friday, and there's a Direct announced tomorrow for Friday, Barrett? What if? I'm dreaming over here.
All right, but there's only four announcements, and like, you know, by Friday, all four announcements will have happened.
We don't know that's daily. They could skip a day.
That's true.
I think that's... They're gonna just slowly roll that thing out over the next couple of months, not days.
Yeah, the coming soon definitely kind of says that, which had me sad because I thought it was, well, as soon as I saw the Wonderful 101 thing, I was like, oh, it's gonna be every day. And then you read coming soon, and I'm like, all right, we'll see if it's every day.
Do you think there's still a February direct?
February, yes. This week, no.
No, not this week.
I don't even know February, man. Nintendo just does whatever they want.
It's true.
I mean, they have nothing dated right now besides Animal Crossing and I guess Wonderful 101 now. So
yeah,
like there's no more. They need to announce Switch game dates and announcements at some point.
So I was having this conversation with Tim yesterday also that my thought process was, oh, the Platinum 4 could be how the Capcom 5 was when Capcom did the 5 games releasing somewhat close to each other on the GameCube. And
it was Beautiful Joe, Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
Dead Angel was the name of that.
Oh, I don't even know.
Piano 5. God, what was the fifth game? Killer's Dead. Not Killer's Dead. Killer 7, sorry.
Okay, I was going to say, Killer's Dead is Suda?
It's still Grasshopper. It wasn't suited directly, but
gotcha.
Killer 7 was suited directly.
Yeah, but I was like, what I was kind of saying was that, like, oh yeah, if they do a remaster of Wonderful 101, if they're funding it, I don't think it'll be ready within the year. But it's coming out in a few months.
It's done.
Does that mean they already finished it and now they're kickstarting it?
Yes.
Post development.
Yes.
How does that work?
They had, like, I imagine remasters are not as hard as we think they are. Like, it does kind of betray what we think, like, games cost, but they probably put the investment into it already and, like, okay, well, if we just release this, it's not going to get any attention or press coverage or anything. Mm-hmm. So we might as well just, let's do a Kickstarter to cover our bases a little bit. It's basically a pre-order campaign. I apologize for the weird talking. I had dental work. But if they want to, like, make sure this game sells, the best way to do it is to run it as a Kickstarter and then give out some physical goods. Like, honestly, they're doing it smartly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not necessarily not deceptive, but it's the right way to do this. Otherwise, they probably would have lost money on this project.
Frankfurter writes in and says, good morning, Blessing and Imran. To follow up on yesterday's news, the Wonderful 101 came to Kickstarter and has already raised over $1 million, which is apparently more than what the original game raised.
1.1, I think, last time I checked.
What I want to ask is, why in the world the Switch goal was only 50K? Was this game already going to be released and they just needed a tiny push? I feel like a publisher would be dumb not to give that pocket change to get this on the market. Do you also think Platinum will ever go back to Kickstarter for porting another game, or will publishers see this as a success and react by taking them up on their next game? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter. That was my question. Is 50K for a Switch remaster? That seems kind of low.
So if you read, I think it was a VGC interview with Kamiya, they explained that they went to Nintendo and said, hey, we want to do this as a Switch port. And we know they did because, like, I want to say 2017, 2018, they had a picture of the Wonderful 101 people, like, characters playing with a Switch, like, as new art. So it was like, oh, obviously they're working on a Switch port because they did the same thing with Bayonetta as well. Nintendo was gung-ho about it. They were, okay, like, yeah, let's do it. But Platinum also wanted to do it multi-platform. They wanted to bring it to PC and PS4 as well. And then Nintendo was like, okay, but we're not paying for that then. Uh-huh. Like, if you want to do that, that's fine, but we're not going to give you $50,000 to put it also on other consoles.
Mm-hmm.
So they went the Kickstarter route. Nintendo, who owns half of Wonderful 101, was like, okay, we'll license it to you. You can do what you want. So this is the route they chose for that game. I don't think it applies to pretty much any other Platinum game, but this is they were able to have that port ready and just go like, all right, we'll launch Kickstarter and it'll be done.
That's wild to me.
I mean, Platinum's been in dire straits for a while. Like, Nier Automata did a lot for them, but they were looking for funding all that. I put up a tweet, actually.
I'm shocked they haven't been bought yet.
So Brad Sam said a couple of days ago, Brad Sam is a Microsoft, like, not leaker, but reporter, who had, like, the back of the Xbox and all that stuff. Pretty sure last year Microsoft was looking to buy them. Guess that deal fell apart, or they decided to go another direction.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been looking for funding for the last year, which is why it was such a big deal they got that Tencent funding, which is not for old games. It was only for upcoming new stuff. But Platinum has been talking with people like Nintendo, like Microsoft, about acquisitions.
Did he say when the conversations were happening with Xbox? Was this recent?
He said last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I find that... yeah, that falling apart and also them not releasing Wonderful 101 on Xbox screams to me that maybe they don't get along that well.
I'd assume it's more they expected the game would not sell well on Xbox, and they did not actively work on a port before this.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is there's that Microsoft policy of all versions have to come out at the same time, or the Xbox version needs more content.
Oh, okay.
The parity clause, basically. So if they add an Xbox version now and decide to port it, that thing needs more content, or they need a waiver to that exception.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting. How do you feel about Frankfurter's question here where he asks, do you also think Platinum will ever go back to Kickstarter for porting another game, or will publishers see this as a success and react by taking them up on their next game? Does this boost Platinum's reputation for publishers not even acquiring them, but publishing their next game?
I could see them trying it again. It's historically never been successful to go back for another game for crowdfunding after you've already done your big success. they did get that Tencent investment money, so if they're going to use it for future publishing stuff. But for their old back catalog, I can't think of anything they would do because everything else is owned by someone else.
Yeah.
So, like, Sega owns Bayonetta and Vanquish. Square owns Nier Automata. Nintendo owns Astral Chain. Nintendo owns the publishing rights to Bayonetta 2.
Man.
I assume they own the publishing rights to 3 as well. Mad World? No, Sega owns Mad World.
Wait, do they do?
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing they own themselves.
Oh, you said Nintendo owns Bayonetta?
Nintendo owns publishing rights to Bayonetta 2. And presumably 2. 3. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So they can't port Bayonetta 2 without Nintendo saying, okay, yeah, go for it. Do mm-hmm. whatever you want. And it's seemingly unlikely because Wonderful 101 did not sell that well, but Bayonetta 2 sold fine.
Yeah.
So
this, I'm looking at the history of Platinum Games, and it seems like, yeah, their first self-published games is this Wonderful 101 remastered. Everything else has been published by someone else.
Yeah.
So presumably that those publishers mainly have those rights. Like you were saying, like Nintendo and Platinum kind of co-own the rights to Wonderful 101. But man, yeah, everything else is just like, I know, I like it. Crazy, man.
Well, also they are living basically game to game.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're desperately trying to change with stuff like this.
Yeah. Do you foresee them being bought soon?
No.
Really?
I think they were desperately looking for funding, and if they didn't get funding, yes, they were probably going to be bought, but now they have some funding, and now they're looking at a more doable next few years, because they have Babylon's Fall.
Yeah.
Presumably, if that's not a Nier game, then they've got another Nier game somewhere in the future. Astral Chain broke a million. It's outsold Mua 3, which is kind of nuts when you think about it. Yep. Like, they have a pretty bright future right now. Like, I saw someone say, like, oh, Platinum's had so many bombs lately. But the number of successes they've had versus the bombs, a lot of publishers would, like, a lot of studios would kill to have that many great games.
Yeah, okay, so if we're talking about lately, then we're talking about Astral Chain, we're talking about Nier.
Yeah.
If we're talking about 2016, like, yeah, we got Star Fox Zero.
Yeah, if we're talking about, like, when they're putting out Avatar or
The Legend of Korra.
The Legend of Korra, and, like, Teenage Transformers. Ninja Turtles. The Transformers game was decent.
It was fine.
Yeah. The Activision, like, set trilogy of games were clearly stuff, like, they had no budget for and no time.
Yeah.
So it's good now that they have, like, they're getting that space from developers. Like, maybe they can actually make good on a lot of what they want to make good on.
Hmm.
We'll see.
Number 4. Blizzard responds to Warcraft 3 Reforged criticism. Patches coming soon. This comes from Jeremy Winslow of GameSpot. After a wave of criticism was directed toward Activision Blizzard for its handling of Warcraft 3 Reforged, the company has issued an apology for the problems and outlined a couple of patches currently in the works. Warcraft community manager Randy Kaivox Jordan took to the company's forums to discuss Blizzard's plans for Reforged, specifying that the team is fully committed to supporting the game and the Warcraft 3 community for a long time to come. This includes preparing a patch scheduled to go live later this week that will address mismatched color and shading modules, portrait animations, and audio bugs, UI fixes, and more. Most notably, though, Jordan takes aim at the cutscene controversy. Many fans have noted that certain cutscenes fail to live up to what Blizzard has previously shown during BlizzCon 2018. Jordan said the lack of reanimated cutscenes was essentially to keep the original spirit of Warcraft 3 intact. Quote, "We did not want the in-game cutscenes to steer too far from the original game," Jordan said. We went a little deeper into the thought process behind that at the show, but the main takeaway is that the campaigns tell one of the classic stories in Warcraft history, and we want to preserve the true spirit of Warcraft 3 and allow players to relive these unforgettable moments as they were, albeit rebuilt with new animations and higher fidelity art. We want to say we're sorry for to those of you who didn't have the experience you wanted, and we'd like to share our plans for what's coming next. Elsewhere in the forum post, Jordan said that some online features like clans and leaderboards are still coming. Jordan didn't provide a definitive date as to when they'll go live, other than the vague in the coming weeks timeframe. Still, he confirmed that Blizzard is hard at work on getting these missing features up and running. Now, are you have you followed the this Reforged
situation? A little bit, yeah. It was a Game Informer cover story a while ago, like when they first announced it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm a bit more familiar with the game when it was, like, announced versus what it actually turned out to be.
Yeah, because this is a thing that Greg brought up Friday on Friday's KFGD.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody wrote in a question about it, and we hadn't covered it on the show. And when Greg started reading through it, I was like, I didn't even know this game was coming out. And so I had no idea there was this huge controversy going on with Warcraft 3 Reforged.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's very bad.
Yeah, it turns out it's not only bad. It's they ended up replacing the old Warcraft 8 client. So even if you never bought Reforged and you don't like any of these changes or remove features or whatever, or like you don't like the idea of Blizzard owning their new maps, like this is, it's overtaking that stuff. So even if you're an old Warcraft 3 fan, Blizzard is still kind of screwing you over here.
Mm. The Neobiologist writes in and says, "What's up, Blessing Nimron? Blizzard has broken their silence on Warcraft 3 Reforged, and it's not pretty. They addressed issues and fixes they're rolling out, but it feels like they're treating this as games as a service. What gets me is that they essentially blame their fans of dreaming big on what this game is going to be, and that Blizzard couldn't ever live up to that expectation. Who is at fault for how bad this game is? Is it the fans for dreaming above and beyond the scope that Blizzard set out? Or is it Blizzard who rolled back features that it actively advertised and promised yet didn't deliver? Or is it both?" The Neobiologist.
Well, if you take like that Jason Schreier story from I think last year of Activision Blizzard rolling back all the Blizzard initiatives that were in Overwatch and something else, like they were focusing mostly on esports.
Mm.
Like this kind of makes sense. It kind of dovetails with that of, oh, this is one of the projects that they roll back and they wanted less work on, especially when you look at like the cinematic difference between what they originally showed versus what they released.
Yeah.
Like, it does seem like they pull back a lot, especially on budget.
Hmm. Yeah, when you ask who is at fault for how bad this game is, like, Blizzard. Obviously, like, Blizzard is at fault for it. He goes on and says, is the fans for dreaming above and beyond the scope that Blizzard set out? This reminds me a lot of the No Man's Sky situation. Maybe even, like, lesser so because of the idea that this is then replacing the old version of the game that you now cannot access. I think that is pretty egregious, but at heart of, like, the idea that, you know, Hello Games is coming out during E3 and talking about features that then didn't really end up in the final game.
Right.
Now are there through patches and updates and stuff. But at the launch of that game, there was a whole hubbub, right? And I feel like that sparked a conversation about fan expectation versus what the developer is responsible for versus marketing and advertising and how those things kind of exist in a trinity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I will say that I think fans can have higher expectations for a thing than they probably should have. And sometimes fans should probably wait for reviews before buying a thing, which for this different situation, because this is them replacing the earlier version of the game. But, you know, fans can be at fault a lot of the time for how expectations are set. That said, right, you know, companies definitely have a responsibility for how you advertise and market a thing. And if you mismarket a thing and you misadvertise a thing and you promise features that aren't there, then you can expect this type of backlash.
Right.
And so for this situation, I'm not too close to Warcraft 3 Reforged. I've not been following it super closely. And it sounds like this is pretty much all on Blizzard for this outcome. But yeah, generally, that's kind of how I think about things, is that like there's a balance there. There are expectations to be set. And it looks like for this specific situation, Blizzard did not set those expectations correctly.
I mean, this is a trust-shattering thing, honestly. Like, as someone who doesn't even really play Warcraft, I'm now a bit more suspicious of anything they show Overwatch 2 or Diablo 4. Of like, okay, this is what you're saying right now, but what's going to happen if the budget falls out? Like, what's going to happen if tomorrow Bobby Kotick says, actually, we need less money in this thing, and you pull back a feature I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah. Who knows? Imran, I'm really excited to see what happens with Warcraft 3 Reforged, and if it gets fixed and if it comes back fully and fully featured and better than ever.
Mm-hmm.
But Imran, that's so far away. If I wanted to just know what is coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software requests, each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do. Yeah. Barrett, where are you at? On the yeah. Supposed to be there for me, Barrett.
You know what? I didn't do that, but if you were looking at me in the back dancing, I did do jazz hands.
Oh, you did jazz hands.
So I was mentally still supporting you.
Yeah. Okay? I just want to call you out because you went actually to fix a thing.
Yeah,
I did. But I still wanted to call you out because that's the kind of host I am. Out today, we have the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance Tactics for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, and Mac. The developers, right? I don't know where this comes from, but somebody added this to the doc. Tomorrow, we're giving away a Dark Crystal themed Switch and a copy of the game. Watch tomorrow and follow on Twitter to find out how to win.
Hopefully someone who actually can like supply that stuff wrote that in.
Yeah.
Not just someone playing a bad prank on you.
Who all has access to this doc? I want to know.
Fran? Fran could do it.
Oh. I would love if Kevin just did it, just to fuck with you.
Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game 3 for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. And these are all games that we talked about on PSLO VXOXO for the drop. And so if these sound familiar, that's why. Zombie Army 4, Dead War for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, which Greg is playing for our segment for PSLO, which is spoilers for the episode. Nerved for PS4. Wide Ocean Big Jacket for Switch. Impressions for PC. 7 for PC. Seven's not... No, I'm thinking of 13. Never mind. Because it's like VII.
It's a prequel of 13.
Gunhouse. Is it? It's not. No, okay. It's not. I was like, for a second, was there a prequel to 13? When is that coming out? Because they announced the remastered remake.
Yeah, that was like 2 years ago they announced that.
I'm waiting on that. Because I always... 13 was one of those games where I would always see it in the bargain bin at GameStop for like $5 for PS2. Yeah. And every time I'm like... I'm going to get that game, but I always go with like some other random crap game instead.
Starring David Duchovny as 13.
Really? In 13?
Yeah. Yes. He was the voice of the main character.
So 13 was always that elusive game, which I would always see at GameStop and be like, I want to get that, but I would never get it. And now it's getting a remake. I'm like, I have to play this game because I want to know what it is. I know it's a cel-shaded first-person shooter, but besides that, I know nothing about it.
Let's yell at Belinda asking her where 13 is, but let's not explain what 13 is.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Gunhouse is coming out for PC. Empires in Ruin for PC. Soul Reaper for PC. Elemental Abyss for PC. And Corvus for PC. New dates, we have Saints Row 4 Reelected has been announced for Switch and is out March 27th, which is really exciting. Mm. Saints Row 4, I love it.
I like 3 game. Better, but I think 4 was pretty good.
I could partner with you on that. Yeah. I 3 was really good. I know people have a love for 2. I never played 2.
There's a weird split between the Saints Row community of people who like don't acknowledge 3 and 4 as Saints Row games at all.
Yeah. I remember that when I was playing Saints Row 3 and people were like, but 2 is so much better. And as I was playing 3, I was like, but this game's pretty great though. I really like this. But maybe it's because I didn't play 2. Maybe
I mean, 2 was more of like a GTA thing with still some of that humor, but not quite that level. So yeah. For some people, it went from like... a comedy to a cartoon.
And spoilers, like they murdered Johnny Gett in 3, right? And so
then they brought him back like 15 fucking times.
Yeah,
like,
they did.
It was too much.
Which
honestly.
I still gotta play that Gat Out of Hell. I never got to play that. I own
you
it.
You don't need to.
No? No?
It's not great.
But it's Johnny Gett, he's in hell.
Yeah.
What's not there to love? Early access players of Dreams will be able to upgrade the full release of the game 3 days before launch on February 11th. So if you're in Dreams Creator Early Access, get on that. We got the game 3 days early. Let's play some Dreams. Daemon X Machina is headed to Steam on February 13th, which is another surprising one.
Yeah.
I didn't see that game coming to other platforms, but it's coming to Steam.
Yeah, Nintendo got behind it really hard, but I guess it wasn't like published by them.
Yeah,
so.
Interesting. Did you play Daemon X Machina?
I played the demo and I didn't like it.
Same. I played the demo also and I was like, this game is very slow.
Yeah, I think the final game was much faster, but honestly, now it's on Steam. I might give it a shot there. Like, it will definitely be performed better, so...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
The Fortnite Celebration Cup is happening only on PS4. This solos competition will take place on Saturday, February 15th, and Sunday, February 16th, and is open to all eligible Fortnite players on your PlayStation 4 systems. During the Celebration Cup, players will have an opportunity to earn in-game items and cash prizes. Check out the PlayStation blog for more details. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Manscaped. Breaking news. This important PSA is brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your pubic service announcement. After more than 18 months of research and development, the Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are the first to confirm the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 Manscaping trimmer is now available for purchase. This third generation Manscaped trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Tim and Greg both use Manscaped, and 2 out of 2 women agree it's a smoother look for him. Barrett, you got that Manscaped 3.0. You used it yet?
I did get the 3.0. I have not used it yet.
What are you waiting for, Barrett?
I'm just waiting for the right time, Blessing.
Listen, man, there's no better time than right now. Bust it out. Come on the camera. Let's show people what Manscaped's all about.
No.
If you let's get use banned on Twitch. Yeah,
if you use the Lawnmower 2.0, we can black out the screen and have audio listeners just like listen to us. If you use the Lawnmower 2.0, it's an easy transition.
What does the ball sound like?
Because it's the same. We all know how it sounds. It's just a buzzing noise because it's a trimmer. Because it's the same replacement blade with a new and improved skin-safe technology. When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer shave. One of the coolest new features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, you're one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product, and I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use code GAMES. Your balls will thank you. We're also brought to you by Brooklinen. Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care, and what better time than the new year to take care of yourself? You spend 1/3 of your life in sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? In this new year, it's time to get comfortable, like with new bedding, loungewear, towels, and more. Home of the internet's favorite sheets, Brooklinen got over 50,000 plus 5-star reviews and counting. People here at Kinda Funny Studio have used Brooklinen, and everyone agrees Brooklinen is the way to go. They've moved beyond the bedroom to offer essentials for your bathroom, like towels, shower curtains, and bath mats, and even launched ultra-soft loungewear that makes you feel like you never left the bed. All luxury products without the luxury markup. Like softness, comfort, essentials to help you relax? Brooklinen has it all. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to hit refresh in the new year. Go on and make yourself comfortable. Brooklinen is so comfortable, so confident in their product, and also so comfortable. So confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping on all the new sheets when you use your promo code GAMES only at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. We're also brought to you by Raid Shadow Legends, which let me take a drink of water real quick because it's a mouthful, all these ads.
Go for it.
Introducing Raid Shadow Legends. Raid is a mobile RPG done right. Not every RPG game must be cartoony and cutesy. Enough with the candy rainbows, unicorns, and bright colors. Get real, raw, dark, epic, and awesome. Raid Shadow Legends will take you to the world of dark fantasy and realism. And now, you can play Raid both on mobile and on your desktop. The game is cross-device, so you can play with the same user and switch between devices whenever you want and however you want it. The graphics are amazing in the PC version, and the game is super fast as well. Raid has all the features you'd expect from a brand new RPG title, like an amazing storyline, awesome 3D graphics, giant boss fights, PvP battles, and hundreds of champions to collect and customize. I never expected to get this level of performance out of a mobile game. Check out the amazing graphics and details on those champions and in Raid. In Raid, you have the ability to personally customize and choose the artifacts and design a unique mastery build for each one of them. And the best part, it's free to play. More than 15 million players worldwide have already downloaded the game, so go and click on the link in the description box and start playing. You'll not just enjoy one of the best mobile games of the moment, you'll also be supporting this show. So what are you waiting for? Download Raid via my link, patreon.me/kindoffunnygamesraid. That is patreon, patreon.me/kindoffunnygamesraid, which you'll also find in the description. Get a special package with 100,000 silver, 2 clan boss keys, 10 mystery shards, and the amazing champion Adjudicator. This package will be available only for the next 30 days. Manuel Suazo.
Hold on, before we go to that, we missed an important new date.
Oh, is there a new date?
Castlevania is back on Netflix on March 5th.
Oh.
Yes. So season 3.
Season 3?
Yep.
Oh, man. I don't think I've watched Castlevania on Netflix yet. I keep putting it off, and I want to watch it.
So season 2 is a little bit of a slog. It's a lot of, like, vampire politics stuff. But, like, the last two episodes are some of the best animated fight scenes I've ever seen.
They're also working on Devil May Cry, right?
The showrunner is also, he has a different team for it, but they're, like, they has a Devil May Cry show announced.
So one of the most obscure anime I ever watched is an old Devil May Cry anime, which I think was actually free earlier in the year when DMC5 came out.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. But
they reference it in DMC5.
Yeah, they do reference it in DMC5 with one of the characters early on in the game.
Yeah.
And I watched that anime for whatever reason. I can't remember why. I don't know if it was on Netflix or what, but I was like probably like 13, 14 years old watching it and being like, this is great. And then looking online and seeing that everybody didn't like it. I liked it.
No, yeah, a lot of anime I watched when I was a kid is like, just everyone hates there. Now, and I'm like, all right, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
If I wanted people's opinions, I wouldn't watch anime. Like,
fair. Manuel Suazo writes in and says, hello, KFGD hosts. My question is a blast from the near past. Angry Greg voice, which, listen, we already know. I'm not gonna be able to.
Give it a shot. I want to hear your improvement.
He's too nice to do.
Yeah, I'm too nice.
What makes you super pissed that you would like be able to channel for this sort of thing?
Jet Force Gemini not getting the respect it deserves.
Okay, think about that. Think about all the weird Jet Force Gemini faces and how people don't like him.
What the hell happened with Sean Layden?
Here's the thing. Like, you didn't really have to harden it. Like, I feel like Tim like really brought his A game yesterday, and like Greg really brings it all the time. And
yeah,
because I got layers on right now. I need to take them off. I need to unleash. Right, like the Hulk. I don't want to tear open my coat that I got this month. Kind of funny. All right. What the hell happened with Sean Layden? I can't do that for a whole paragraph.
Well, it says end voice.
End voice. It does say end voice. Okay.
Read the prompt, blessing jeez.
There's a lot of words on this document.
Acting is about reacting.
I will say, I'm proud of you. That was a good one.
Yeah, that's a lot of improvement.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This was one of the most talked about subjects for some time, but then everyone just forgot about it. Have there been any updates on his future or why his departure happened?
No.
I see he's active on Twitter, still very supportive of everything PlayStation, but haven't seen anything regarding him joining someone or anything close to that. Thanks for all you do, Manuel Suazo. What happened to Sean Layden? Where is he? What's he doing?
We'll never know. Unless he decides to tell us, we'll never know.
But like, he's not doing anything, right? He's just chilling.
I guess.
Is he
probably made a ton of money on, like, as an executive at PlayStation that, like, he can retire for a while.
I
think, like, honestly, it's that they're centralizing a lot of their stuff in Europe right now. Like, Jim Ryan is former head of SCEE. Like, Herman Hulse is now the head of Worldwide Studios, and he's in Europe. It didn't make a lot of sense for Sean Layden to be, like, if he didn't want to move to Europe, maybe he wanted to be here. But that's just a guess. Who knows? Like, the Sony not being at E3 announcement was through GamesIndustry.biz, which is a European outlet. Like, we'll never know for sure. We can only speculate, but I don't think it was anything dramatic.
So I'm looking at Sean Layden's Twitter right now, and his bio is now citizen/creator, PlayStation alumnus. Nothing that's really signaling. He has some political tweets in here, which I wasn't expecting, but nothing that's really...
Did he win the Iowa caucus?
He has a retweet here about how the best political orators of the 21st century are Barack Obama and Adam Schiff, which, yeah, Barack Obama, amazing orator.
Yeah, no, legitimately, probably the best orator of the last generation.
But nothing here about what he's up to or play. He has January 31st, and now this is just us going through Sean Layden's tweets.
Let's e-stalk Sean Layden.
He's like listening to this like, no, stop, please. Let's see. He tweets on January 31st. Just going to take a moment here to recognize the teams that created this innovation. He's talking about PlayStation View, I believe. Yeah, PlayStation View. Back in 2015. It was ahead of its time, and I'm very sad to see it go. Thanks, View. You shall be missed. Right? So he's still... He's retweeting Patapon stuff. So he's still, like... he's showing some PlayStation love. And Obama love. He has a Jon Stewart... you know what? I'm starting to dig Sean Layden. Because I also dig Jon Stewart.
Sean Layden should run for governor.
He's still showing PlayStation love on his timeline, which at the very least, I feel like means he doesn't absolutely hate PlayStation's guts.
Yeah, no, I assumed it was always like a very non-dramatic reason of he just doesn't want to leave California or whatever.
Yeah. Darth Pickles writes in and says, "Hey, Blessing and Imran, with Platinum Games reaching their minimum goal of $50,000 to bring Wonderful 101 to Switch in just 24 minutes, do you think that any other developers will dip into crowdsourcing for funding? Are there any reboots or canceled games that you'd want to see on Kickstarter? Thanks for all you do, Darth Pickles."
I mean, it's a weird confluence of events. Like, $50,000, obviously, it would not have been enough to make a remaster. So, like, if they started from scratch and that wasn't a complete game already, that would have been a ridiculous goal that would not have, like, it would have been met, but they would not have enough money for the actual product. Again, it goes back to the same thing of you can only do it so many times. Mm. Like, if they try to do it, like, doing a Bloodstained through Kickstarter, I don't think it would, it'd probably succeed, but it wouldn't do gangbusters. Like, Shenmue, whatever, Shenmue 4, if they do that again, it's not going to have the same numbers it had before. I'm struggling to think, because, like, a lot of people who try it are, like, the well has run dry a bit.
Mm.
I can't think of who else would go for it now. Like, all the big games that we have nostalgia for now are games that if you try to revive again would take a ton more money than you get from crowdsourcing.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of older games that we try to revive don't stand the test of time in ways. And so, like, you know, people, like, I feel like a lot of people have been asking for new Time Splitters from Deep Silver, or not Deep Silver.
Well, Deep Silver owns the, do they know?
Who's above Deep Silver?
THQ
Nordic. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. They own Deep Silver, but it's not the other way around.
It's a weird, confusing thing. THQ Nordic Group owns Deep Silver and THQ Nordic, the publisher.
Oh.
It's a confusing thing. So
there's,
like,
a lot going on there.
Basically, the publisher made the 8chan thing. The group did not.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Bless, I think Time Splitters could hold up in a way that GoldenEye never could.
I mean, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, it would hold up better than GoldenEye. Yeah.
Am I crazy, or did they just announce that they're doing new Time Splitters?
I believe they did.
God, okay, I hope so.
But,
no, I feel like stuff was teased, but nothing was ever, like, officially, like, announced.
But, like, how well will a Time Splitters, like, stand up?
Yeah, so they announced a new Time Splitters.
How well will that stand up to, like, other first-person shooters today?
I don't know.
And maybe I'm just talking out my ass.
But
I've only watched gameplay of Time Splitters. I've never actually played it.
Oh, you missed out.
Time Splitters had a really good multiplayer. That's what I remember it for. I don't know that it would stand out, honestly. It would be a lot of people just being like, hey, yeah, I remember Time Splitters.
Yeah, I feel like the appeal of Time Splitters would be that, like, you played or you're familiar with Time Splitters from back in the day.
Yeah.
And you're going into it as in, like, oh, yeah, I love this game. I'm going to play it because of my previous love. You know, or maybe they do something new and special, but I feel like when you, and that's the thing, right? If you revive something, you kind of have to add a spin on it that actually makes it stand out today, or, like, do something that is, that keeps it with the times. Like, you can't, like, kind of bring back something one for one. Like, SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom, you know, I'm excited for it as somebody who likes 3D platformers.
Apparently not excited enough
SpongeBob.
To bet on it for this PlayStation League.
But that's the thing, right? I think that game's going to come out, and, you know, people like you are going to love it. People like me might love it. I never played Battle for Bikini Bottom, but even
what was
I want
your
to.
Childhood?
Listen,
what did you
well, actually,
play?
I played on a demo disc, if that counts.
Okay.
I had a PlayStation 2 demo disc.
That's how I played a lot of games as a kid.
Yeah, that's how I played. I played those same areas of Brave Fencer Musashi over and over again because I had a PS1 demo disc. But, I mean, that's a game that I feel like, you know what? That might be a bad example because kids are going to love a SpongeBob game. But a lot of games you bring back and they don't necessarily age well. Crackdown 3. Game that doesn't necessarily hold up to
the game is better than most people gave it credit for, but yeah, I understand what you mean that, like, what was great even 10 years ago is not necessarily great now.
Yeah, you know, I feel like if something that was great 10 years ago, you can if you want to bring it back, you have to
Shovel Knight is a great example of a game that, like, feels like it, you remember NES games feeling like, but is way more advanced in almost every way, because if it actually controlled like an NES game, it would be unplayably bad.
Yeah. That said, I know Microsoft owns this IP, and so it's not going to go to Kickstarter, but if somebody could steal IPs, if somebody could break into the Microsoft office and steal, I imagine IPs are like deeds,
yes.
Where if you have the deed, you own the land. If you could steal the deed for the IP of Jet Force Gemini and put that on Kickstarter and bring that back, you got my attention.
That was on Rare Replay, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, they would own the IP.
Uzair Syed writes in and says, is Firewall being free on PS Plus actually a red flag for how many active players the game has? Riggs and Starblood Arena got put on PS Plus for the same reason. Starblood was even shut down. Is this a sign of Firewall no longer bringing in the money or sustaining a player base?
Probably. Like, I remember doing the preview event for Firewall, and it was fun.
Yeah.
But I've never heard anyone talk about it, really.
Yeah, Greg Miller talked about it a lot, but...
Yeah, you've never heard Greg Miller and Kevin Coelho champion that shit for
I zone
so
out
long.
When they talk about
it. And that's the thing, is like, from what I hear, right, and I believe that game was nominated for, like, Best VR last
year. I'm sure, like, it's an actually fine game. Yeah. I just don't assume that it's, like, hitting any mass market.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where a multiplayer game in VR, right, a multiplayer game feeds off his audiences, right? And so if there's a low audience and you're not able to find matches, right? Yeah. Like, VR is already a thing where it's hard to kind of get into. I think there's like 5 million PSVRs out there, right? Like, within those 5 million players,
do you have like 12 friends that are playing that game?
Yeah.
And all have PSVRs and not Oculuses or Vibes or whatever.
And so I think this is a thing of like, hey, let's get the Firewall 0 Hour player base up. You know, and I don't think this necessarily spells death for Firewall, but it could be an indicator that, yeah, that game didn't necessarily sell amazing because it is like a more obscure thing underneath VR, which is, compared to the wide audience of PS4 players, kind of an obscure thing.
Plus, I mean, like, maybe it's done selling and like that's fine. Like, they got what they wanted out of it. And now it's just like, okay, now it's a PS Plus, not necessarily a filler title, but like a thing we can put on here. I'm pretty excited for Sims, actually.
For what now?
Sims.
Oh, yeah. Sims 4, I might dip into.
I might actually make the kind of funny people in that.
Oh.
We'll see how that works out.
That'd be fun.
If I have some time, I'm going
to
do
that. That'd be like a cool like competition to do, is to see who can make like the best kind of funny studio in Sims, since it's free on PS Plus. That could be a PSLV thing. I'm going to talk to Greg. Now it's time to squad up. Foodie and Fit writes in with a Switch friend code and says, I'm always down for Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Smash Brothers, and anything else you want to get whooped
in. Hold on. Is there a Yu-Gi-Oh game on Switch with online play?
I feel like Yu-Gi-Oh Legacy of the Duelist.
Okay,
came out on Switch.
I need to look into that because I feel like I want to play some Duel Monsters.
Duel Links is the mobile game, right? Yu-Gi-Oh Duel Links. Was there a console version? Was there a I'm asking questions that you guys obviously don't have the answer for.
I'm bringing it up. Yu-Gi-Oh!
Legacy of the Duelist.
What
Evolution.
The fuck is that thing on the right?
Oh, that's
this man?
Yeah, that's from one of those new Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yu-Gi-Oh!
It's one of the Yu-Gi-Ohs.
Oh,
we don't talk about
that.
The Yu-Gi-Ohs.
I hate it.
That sounds like a racial slur.
It does sound like a racial slur. Like, once I said it the second time, I was like, let me think about this for a second and make sure I'm in a good place before I say this a third time.
Who is this man?
Obviously, that's
Yami. He looks like he's like from a different universe.
That's obviously like, Yami Yugi's Yami Yugi. It's like his Super Saiyan 3.
Like, if you told me that was like a weird Pokemon, I'd be like, yeah, I can kind of see it.
That guy?
Yeah.
I dig it, though, that fashion. But yeah, that's what I was thinking of, was Link Evolution. So Duel Links is the mobile game. Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist was the game that came out like before the Switch. And then I guess they ported that version. I guess it's a remastered version. I have no idea, but it's on the Switch. So if you want to play Yu-Gi-Oh! With Foodie and Fit, Foodie and Fit's Switch friend code is SW6166-6341-3915. That'll be in the YouTube description.
Or will it?
Or will it? Or we have to rewind that.
Go play Yu-Gi-Oh! With him. Like,
now it's time for Kind of Funny / You're Wrong. Oh, Florence is coming to Switch and PC on February 13th. I missed that.
This morning. That's cool.
Yeah. I saw a screenshot of Florence, but I feel like I got distracted or something, so I somehow missed it. But that's awesome. Let's see. Promo School on WWE Backstage. Okay, well, they're explaining Promo School for WWE Backstage, which if you really want to watch Greg on Promo School WWE Backstage, you'll watch it. You don't need to hear what it is from me.
You're sandbagging him so hard. It's so
Wikipedia exists. Let's see here. 104.101 Capitalist Pig writes in and says 104.101 was teased in 2017 when the devs posted the picture of a Switch teasing 104.101 on the console.
Yeah.
Microsoft tried to buy Platinum Games recently but did not succeed, which is what we talked about.
Yeah, that's not you're wrong. That was you're right.
Alex Russ writes in with a new date. Phantasy Star Online 2 closed beta is available for Xbox Insider users beginning February 7th at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Again, that's the thing. I'm going to be like, I'm going to enjoy playing that for a couple of hours and be like, all right, this is super cool. And then probably forget about it. But who knows? Maybe it'll be a thing that I play for 1,000 hours.
Sean Layden said like a year before he left. Hold on.
No, he did not. He retired thing. Like, no, if he retired, it would have gone on so differently.
Yeah.
Like, there would have been retirement announcements. He would have had, like, a goodbye thing. It was just like, no, Sean Layden's gone.
Mm-hmm. Anthro Metal writes in with a missed new date. Fallout 76 Wastelanders DLC, finally dated for April 7th, is coming to Steam too. There's a YouTube trailer out there, so if you want to see that trailer, go to YouTube, type in Fallout 76.
That's the NPC
and just pray.
Thing.
Pick yeah. a god and pray. And I think that is it for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tomorrow's hosts, Greg and Tim. I saw somebody on Twitter or something asking, like, oh, when are we going to see Greg and Tim again? And here's the thing. When
you see them both.
Yeah. Thank you. That's why I keep... This is why I'm
also,
on
the show. You know what? I think that's Tim's last show before he goes blind.
He goes blind?
Yeah.
So. Oh.
And then he gets the laser eyes.
Oh, so yeah, this will be... Oh, damn. Tomorrow will be Tim's last show where he can see. Then from there on, he's going to be Daredevil.
Would you ever do the laser
or
eye
can
things?
She? I would have to know the details.
I've
I don't
seen
know
it
much
happen,
about
and I don't like it, but I would... I like how I look with glasses. I think it would look weird without them.
That's my thing, too. I feel like at this point, glasses are a part of me, mm-hmm. where if I just don't have glasses on, I feel like I might look weird.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how I feel about it. But I do like the idea of not having to worry about breaking my glasses.
I would go for it if the lasers were permanent.
Are they not?
They degenerate over time.
Oh. I mean, isn't that just the human condition, though?
Yeah. You still need new glasses every couple of years, but like, yeah.
Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.